This is Anne DeVore, 16 January 1993, and Exercise and Courage for Women Only, tape 2 of 3.
Attend to the differences. She overlooked them for the sake of the work. And there is some truth in that. But when you base an important decision like marriage on it, it's a fatal mistake. So sometimes we want to work with people of other types or other agendas, but we always have to remember what ours is so we don't get pulled out of ourselves. And taking you into the world is dreams. Taking
off. I seriously woke up in the morning, not a particular sense of what in the hell happened. And then I felt kind of nervous because, you know, my means of living was taken, you know, and my investments, all my records, everything.
Well, many people desire to be born again. And you could say you've received, in my first hit, the initiation of the cauldron. As she takes you to the water, to the sacred cave, to the underground grotto of the women. The women, of course, throughout history, ruled the grottos. It's a sacred underground place where water is coming from the earth. Stones, water, You could say a lot about the house as an image of the self. To reach your true self, you have to give up the things of the ego. And this goddess is very happy to bring in her army to have them strip you clean. And this is a very Greek dream. In the Orphic myths and mythologies that had to do with initiation, you are born three times, first of woman, and then you wander, second of yourself, and you put aside the things of the ego, and you accept this condition of being in tune with or in touch with larger energies. And the third time is when you die even to that and you become part of the light. But this would be the second initiation, born of self, twice born. And it's always underground in a grotto in Greek initiation cults. And it's very much attached to the goddess Sophia, who is a wisdom goddess. And you've got a bit of alchemy in it with that big kitchen at the top that's been cooking going on forever. I mean, alchemical, magical things are always done with fire and water. But that self that keeps unfolding that you could explore forever is like a glimpse into just how complicated you really are. But you've got to get rid of all this money and, I mean, that's an image. It's like saying, it isn't important. Those are those things you do now, but they are not the focus. It's really hard to, in Kabbalistic initiations, you had two choices, and one was to go to the desert and retreat, and the other was to go to a major city and do your work. Yeah. And so you are here to do your work, and then the requirements of living in a city are is that we earn a living, that we maintain shelter, that we dress in the manner of the citizens, and that we do not tell who we are. You don't go out announcing that you're connected to Sophia. You just do your work. And the question is, who do you tell? And the only rule is, you can only tell the ones who ask. They must ask. And then you give the lesson. But to live in the city, you must earn a living. So you can't let it go. But you no longer think of that as your focus. Now the things of the grotto and all of those rooms are more important. So it's a wonderful dream. You would use it daily as a meditation to enter knowledge. Many people have inductions into their meditations, and this is yours. It's like you could go through that house on a daily basis in your meditation, exploring the rooms, and it happens to you. Suddenly there will be a teacher there who will tell you something. Jung called it active imagination. Other people call it guided imagery. I just call it meditation. But it takes on a life of its own. And they led you to the grotto. So my impulse would be to have you go through that house and wind your way out into that grotto and just wait. Right. That's very Greek. That's accurate. So, Yes. In other words, to enter life in the Greek incarnation myth, the soul makes a contract, you could say, for important work. And at the moment of incarnation, which is exactly timed to the lessons that you will be needing to do this work, you drink of the river of Lethe, which is the river of forgetfulness. And you forget your celestial self. And you incarnate through the spheres. And the trick is to remember what it is you agreed to do once you got here. And once you get a glimpse of it, then you must forget again the earthly pulls, all the trials and tribulations and temptations, and begin devoting yourself more and more to that job that you forgot when you incarnated, but now suddenly begin to remember. So going into that grotto and bathing in that spring will help you to remember. Yeah.
In some ways, and that giving you life to the discipline on it, where you have to do growth.
Yes. That may be your next step.
Each layer, each step down, goes.
Tell her. Well, you tell her.
Somebody help me. But because I'm a pastor, but the movement on it,
she enters the water. Yeah. The skin is our persona and our ego self. Oh, it is not easy. It is not easy. The Druids required 20 years of training to reach this place. The Greeks required 20 years. The Kabbalists required for you to study the secret knowledge 20 years. So you're approximately 40 when you begin this process of the second birth. Some traditions require that you're married and rooted in daily life. This is the image of the sorcerer's apprentice. First you learn to clean the studio, and then you can do magical work. Because the grounding is what's important here. So it is really very hard to accept this shift. And the grounding has to be there. This is why Jung spent a lot of time talking about inflations and deflations. When these kinds of dreams come too early in life, the person is not yet rooted in life and therefore can't really ground this kind of energy. And Stanislav Grof, Christina Grof, John Perry have written a lot about this. And they call it, and Stanislav Grof has formed what he calls the spiritual emergency network. And it's people who are dedicated to catch the young ones who have too soon spiritual openings. And it's what John Perry said in his work, The Roots of Renewal and Myth and Madness. It's very thin line between a psychotic break and a spiritual opening. And it really has to do with the fact that first you have to have a strong ego And then there is a place for the self to begin displacing the ego. But if you have a fragile ego or no ego process, which is often the case of an 18 to 20 year old first break schizophrenic, it's awful and it's very dangerous. So the perils, as Campbell would say, of the hero's journey are that you are tested and many fail. So I think it is a midlife issue, and we should be grateful it's a midlife issue because we usually have the grounding it takes to handle it. Dreams. Yeah. Like a reversal.
The final thought, there was in a closed room building It's kind of, my first impulse is to say what my analyst used to say, David, who was a fairy tale man. He'd say, well, in a short time or a long time, you either will or you won't be married. And it was comforting. Yes. But I think the marriage always comes up when we're making a great transition. It can be an inner marriage or an outer marriage, but the impulse then is met. I mean, you must be very aware that you put that energy out and someone will present, and you have to decide whether that's the right thing. My impression is that the dream's doing everything it can to get you to move into that underground university and accept a teacher, an inner teacher. Inner, in the sense that that's your dream. That is not a person you know who's teaching you the painting. It's about creation. Your sister's pregnant. But you have to ask the question about, is that a real baby I'm trying to have, or a new birth, a second birth? And one of the beauties of dreams is that the guide presents itself. And yours is a dog, and it is, in Greek or Egyptian terms, this is the psychopomp, the leader of souls. And the dog is a healer image. In Egyptian mythology, Anubis leads all souls where they need to go, what to the underworld or the overworld, and he takes them all to his mother, Nephthys, who is the great healer, and she determines whether you are to be healed or to die. And you can take that death as a real death or a death to certain other aspects of your life, and you can take the healing either as a continuance where you are to learn more where you are, or a sense of wholeness that stops the question. But Anubis is a dog. He's a jackal-headed god figure. The Greeks, the dog takes you to Asclepius, to Chiron. That's the leader of souls in the Greek healing temples. And these are the worshippers of Apollo. And it would be fitting for the university, as you call it, to be in that underworld. Because in the Greek sense, you are led to the underworld, and it is a mental place. So it is in Apollo we find discipline and we find beauty. This is not a Dionysian dream. This is about discipline and beauty and knowledge. Very Apollonian with that dog presenting itself. Art, poetry, music, dance. But it's the disciplined arts. It's not the frenzy of Dionysius. Well, this is probably what we all feel when we're presented with this kind of discipline. I don't know if I can keep up with it. I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I'm ready to start that private practice. I haven't read all the books in the library. I don't know all the art techniques. I don't know how to... I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And so we have to say, I do know. I am a student. All students on the path of discipleship are just students. We're all students here. A disciple on the path is just a student. I am just a student. I had a vision once of, it was a marvelous vision. It comforted me. I have teachers that work with me. And a friend of mine went to Egypt to do a ceremony in the Great Temple of Giza and received 2 hours all by herself in the Great Temple of Giza. And she asked me and a friend to ground her at a certain time on a certain date in February. And we did. For us, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And she was going to be there in the dark at night all by herself with a candle. And we were waiting for her connection. And I was certain that we would. And all of a sudden, this vision... And it's like we were here in our regular bodies, and the 7-foot-tall teachers were behind us, and the 10-foot-tall teachers were behind them, and the 20-foot-tall teachers were behind them, and it was like mothers and fathers all the way up. I mean, to the whole universe is teachers and students and mothers and fathers and children. And I thought, oh, thank God, I don't have to know it all. Mm-hmm. And I can be here in my 5'8" body, and the 7-foot-tall teachers are teaching me, and the 10-foot-tall teachers are teaching them. And I was relieved. Mm-hmm. So we can sing with the group. Right. And that's what we are here to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have one little quick question. Anyway, but following that day, I'm asking, okay, if there's so because I did have some grammar of cognitive things, I've been pretty symbolic, you know, because I haven't planned a trip to Maui. I think, well, I was going to go on this man that I no longer do, so I think, well, I guess I might not have gone to Maui alone. I'm going to Maui alone. That'd be interesting. But, you know, maybe I'd rather go to a place where there's other people, and maybe going to something like that, and maybe we could go to Maui. But I think when I move my town, I think it's a delay at the mountains, you know. But maybe there's something in my town, and I think, well, that's kind of so funny. The only other thing I've said in my town is that it was a space cycle. And, I am a member of the AIU, and they do see the workshops that I have now. Anyways, I took this out, so if anybody kind of knows anything, I just thought I'd throw it out.
Well, could you accept another step? Uh-huh. And this is the discipline part.
Uh-huh.
One of the people that I read a lot is a English mystic named Dion Fortune, who wrote a book called Esoteric Love, The Philosophy of Esoteric Love and Marriage. And the advice she gives to people who want soulmates, spirit partners, is that all you can do is work on yourself so that when he arrives or she arrives, you are ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want a partner, you have got to begin imaging what this man or woman will be like.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see what Maud got into. She wanted a comrade in arms, and she didn't fulfill in the details with a good mind and a kind heart and who won't, right?
Well, the two things before that were...
So you have to do all of that work, and you have to prepare your heart to receive that. As long as you're still in a place of not being sure there's a chair for you, you're not quite ready to meet the beloved. You've got to be ready to count yourself in. So for you, that step of counting yourself in is going to be the biggest obstacle. Yeah?
I have a marriage preparation dream, too. All these people were getting ready for the wedding, and they were very busy and were joyful. They were hanging out with their husband, and I was waiting to have my 60 days and was burnt. And I'm the bride. And he doesn't get there. It's not that he wasn't coming, it's that he didn't get there. And right behind me over my shoulder is a silver dragon. And there's an old woman, an older woman, a dark skin, and she's kind of looking over my shoulder. And the very end of the dream is that she's now beside me and we get our pictures.
Yes, you bet. So a step for you in the divine marriage preparation is to what? Mm-hmm. Do you know Barbara Walker's books? She wrote a book called Crone. And the encyclopedia, the big women's encyclopedia of myth. But in the Crone book is a wonderful prep for being with that old woman. And some of us are crones early in life, and we've just been waiting for a certain age to be comfortable. And I'm one. I was born old. And to accept her, though, is sometimes, even when it's upon you and you want it, it's hard. In Irish mythology, all of the goddesses are triple goddesses, and they have three phases of life, all of them. And you must accept all three phases for a complete cycle of life. In other mythologies, they're more unidimensional. But in the Celtic mythologies, one of the most famous triple goddesses is the Morrigane. And she is a goddess of nature and war. All of them have war. But she is represented by the bird, the crow. In her youth, she is the Nemhane, or a very silvery, shiny, virginal woman. In her middle age, she is the Maka, a woman very much like Maud, with the children and the animals and with lovers. In her old age, she is the Bob, but it's the Bob who mates with the Dagda, who is the father of the universe. And the Bob is a crone. And she is often seen very much as we saw Maud's lines in the play. Did you see an old woman passing by? No, but I saw a young girl, and she had the walk of a queen. So she's a shape changer, this triple goddess. And we can be any one part of her at any time, or we can be more in a particular stage. But it sounds like a stage you have to take is to accept her pioneer soul, as Yeats would call it, and her crone part. Yes, very much so. Particularly in a culture like ours, where they worship the tight bodies. You know, the Bob had breasts that hung to the ground, and she had a great twaddle that hung to the ground, and when she walked, men cowered. Yeah, the most wonderful experience I ever had was in a women's cave in Idaho Springs, Colorado. And there is a grotto there that I used to go to twice a week, and we all were nude, and we're all just there. And the women were all ages. You had to be 14 to get in, but some of the women were brought in by their family members who were so old they could barely walk. And we were just all there together. And there was one Saturday afternoon when it was particularly full of cronish women, and we're all sitting around there just kind of hanging out. And a guy streaked from the men's tunnel through the women's tunnel. And we didn't move. We just sort of stared at him. And suddenly somebody else streaked from the men's tunnel into the women's. This is a miner's tunnel, and there was a back part. And so all of us sort of just sat there like this. And one of the old women says, "That'll wither him." And they didn't do it again. So that's the Bob. Yeah. Great.
It takes place in daylight, a sunny, nice day, and a middle-aged couple comes to my house, and I'm showing them a house in the neighborhood where they can buy a house. So we go up the hill, and the man comes out, and starts talking, and then a very dark man comes out, and first I think he's crazy, because he talks really strangely, and just looks strange, but then takes on a bit of a shaman, very tender, feel for him, just like a look for him, and then the people want to see more, so I walk them down to the community hall, and there's an exhibit of women's paintings, and it's, I don't know what they look, it's like boxes of paintings all over.
They look like.
the weaving. I mean, the sense of it is that it's like over in Yugoslavia.
Oh, Yugoslavian. Uh-huh.
And so it's the weaving and wool colors, and they have like a wool fruit something that otherwise it's just very vivid colors and just figures. And then a woman starts joining, and all the women in the studio start to say,
beautiful. Has he been dead? No, he's alive. That's wonderful.
I guess the reason I was thinking of it on the radio is so much. I didn't hear it quite.
Yes. Are you Slavic?
Mm-hmm.
No. But you have, must have an affinity. Yes. Well, you know, the initiation of the fool leads us into very new places. And the shamanic man with his wolf is what the fool's card is. So it's like a new beginning. And the new tree, I mean, you've got a symbol of new life. And it's, so what... what is the help that you need from the fathers to get this new life, new beginning? A male nurturer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was he? No. He's been difficult. So you're beginning to transform your inner father. When we have difficult parents, sometimes it's really hard to see what the gift of that is. And I had only in the last year did I see what the gift of my mother was, who was very difficult and violent. And I dreamt about, the name of the dream was Out of the Bones of the Women. And I saw all the ancestors, and we're talking thousands of generations of women that carried the bloodline. And it was like bones piled, and then partially decayed carcasses, and then women who were recently dead, and then the living. And this, the women who were... out of the bones of the mothers. And you have to look at that as... what we need is to, we need all of that difficulty and death and decay sometimes leads to one person getting out of that difficulty. And I began to understand that I would rather have learned some very difficult lessons from her, because I knew her. She was familiar. If I'm going to be beaten up by somebody, thank God it's my mother and not a stranger. Or I wouldn't know what I would have done. So I became grateful I had learned the lessons with a familiar person and not in prison or at the hands of a husband you thought you trusted, like Maud did. And so that may be a way to work with your father's energy, I don't know. But in the dream, he's helping now. And it's about new life. And the strength of that peasant weaving, the ethnic weaving. So, welcome to the fool. What about difficult parents? What do they serve?
Well, I think that it's valuable that they have parents. Well, the reason that they're valuable as parents is that we are meant to go away from them.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant to be
our own person.
And I think that if we are born to the courage of expressing the lessons that your parents have to give you, both the nasty and the fine, then you will have the courage to see the whole aspect of life. And I am from them.
But not of them.
Special.
Yeah.
Not entirely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and Jung always said, you know, look at Freud's mother. If you knew her, you could see why he was in love with her. She was very beautiful. He said, now on the other hand, if you saw my mother, you'd know why I left. And he says it just makes it all that easier to leave. But it isn't often the case. Sometimes we are bound to these people by guilt or by obligation, and it's hard to break away. But it is there has to be a purpose for it. One of the things that I really believe is that we are plagued with the past until we can make meaning of it. Mm-hmm. And when you can begin to tell stories about it instead of being bowed under by it, you really haven't made meaning of it quite. So remember that Celtic history was a oral history, not a written history with facts and figures. It was storytelling. The only way they could make any meaning out of all those wars with all those conquerors was to tell heroic stories about it. And you sing about it and you brag about it. In the movie Far and Away, on the father's deathbed, the old friend comes in and tells this really outrageous story about how this man had just killed and attacked 30 people on the road. And he didn't. He got hit on the head by a beam. But that's in the impulse, is to make it into something meaningful. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that it goes both forward and back. I believe that we're tied by a large energy spiral from which we emerge. That is a, you could say, a family heritage, whatever. But when you correct the movement of the spiral, instead of being a wobble, it becomes centered. And I believe we can participate in the correction of an energy field when we change our lives. So that dance becomes more rhythmic instead of out of rhythm. Sure, go ahead. Incarnate more fully. And
viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to connect them. Yeah. Pull it in. That's right. Well, in the mythologies of the twins, the light is Apollo, but who is his twin? Diana, the bear. And she will deface you if you do not take what she gives you. A very fierce goddess of the hunt. Interesting thing is that in the healing temples of Chiron and Asclepius, it is Diana who is the midwife. So it's a very difficult lady if you do not take what she gives you. And what she's giving you is the light. There's a book by Melanie Reinhart called Chiron, The Healing Journey. And it's astrological. It's very, very good. But it lays out all of these Apollonian myths and how they're interrelated. Melanie Reinhart. But Diana is the bear, or the bear is Diana. Well, it's her twin. I mean, twinned energies have a way of switching forms. So if she's appearing in her feminine form, she's going to be accompanied by the light. If Apollo is going to be in his male form, he'll be accompanied by sometimes the bear or other fierce wolf-like animals that are connected to her. It is light itself. It's the sun. It is the sun. So the moon is the reflective part. But to move into initiation circles where you are individuated would require that you shine with your own light. And so moving from the moon to the sun is a requirement of fulfilling your astrological chart. And moving from the moon to the sun is the step that is taken when you move from the second death to the third death in initiation. Yeah. It's 1 o'clock, ladies. The shepherd's crook has just been... How? Well, they all were together. If you read the Melanie Reinhart book, the Aphrodite energy is very much connected to this virginal energy of Diana. It's simply the related form. Aphrodite relating to Mars is the related form of Diana off in the woods killing off the lovers who interfere with her work. So it's all the same energy in some way. But it serves Apollo. These are Apollonian images. Mm-hmm. Aphrodite is one of the oldest energies on the planet, and she is a triple goddess, and she is much more complicated than a goddess of love. Aphrodite's two forms are Persephone young and Persephone old, and then the midlife person is Aphrodite. And she carried light in her own sense, very much the way Yeats's Wild Lady would. But these are sun, moon images. But it doesn't translate exactly. Aphrodite does not reflect light. She is a light. She is the light. She is like the Anima Mundi, the great fire. Yeah. Okay, we have an... One of the keys to the Celtic and Hermetic traditions is that you have got to realize that it's the as above, so below, and they are connected. One of the problems when you work only in the physical world or only in the archetypal world is that that connection is missing. And so with this tradition, you would expect always to find the animal energy or the gift energy of the woman with the light. In other words, it is both. And it's our job to embody that. And you can't have any glimpse at all into the other world without some agreement to embody the energy. This is a very tricky kind of thing because you don't want to be taken over and put in jeopardy by energies or archetypes. But you do what you can to bring that essence into your work and into your life.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've been thinking about in a number of different places. These dreams, in particular the inner way, spark this comment. And that has to do with the concept of fidelity.
Right.
And a lot of us were raised in the 60s and the 70s. Fidelity isn't something that, you know, for a while was a really big
right.
thing. And in fact, a lot was done to break
That's right.
that. And I think that what suffers is the fidelity for oneself.
That's right.
The inner commitment to stay with something long enough to see it through all of its.
That's actually Avis perfect. Because, in fact, her fidelity, or the hermit's fidelity, is to her vision, or to God, or to the project, or to another person, or to a process. And what we do learn on the physical plane is the lesson of time, which is if you don't put in the time, nothing comes of it. To have an idea but not to put in the time to develop it, to remain faithful to the idea, no creativity is possible.
I was listening to a tape of Clarissa Pecola Estes. She used the story of the little match girl who had all these wonderful visions and dreams. And each time she would light a match, she would have this wonderful vision of being warm and loved and food available. But she didn't do anything
about it. Right. Right.
I never quite understand what you're trying to say. I feel like I was saying that I've been trying to embody and
it is very hard. That's the next step. How do you do it? You just remind yourself as you leave the house that you take your light with you. I mean, a lot of these intentional and magical teachings have to do with reminding, remembering that you are the light or you embody the light and you carry the light into the world and you become the light. It's when we say that we are something, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is there. It blows it. That's exactly right. It isn't that we are perfect at it just by knowing it. Then the work begins of really being it. And that's why initiation is about becoming. And it's a paradox because you are it and you are becoming it all the time. You are becoming more and more of what you already are. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. You're talking about how we are,
right,
and how we become at the same time.
It's being the one and the same.
And I find I use that as who we are having to do with our essence.
Right.
We are in the eternal.
Right. That's right.
Or diverse dimension.
Right.
And our becoming is our embodiment.
That's accurate. And when we're connected to the essence, we know who we are. And then, as Yeats said, was everything I wrote just to explain myself to her? I mean, that's it, isn't it? He needed an audience for who he was. And she needed an audience for what she was. And that's the concept of unconditional love, where you can look at somebody and just say, well, that's how she does it. Well, that's how he does it. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Yeah. And we have to remember that we're part of that great Anima Mundi energy that is the energy of this planet's gift to the universe. And each spark out of that Anima Mundi is different. So what Yeats was told in a vision, he woke up and saw a great angel standing by his bed in a dream, within a dream. And the angel said, "You're William Butler Yeats, and you're not doing your work. You are meant to be a great poet, and you're wasting your time on this politics. And if you don't do your work, God will be cheated of William Butler Yeats. And it frightened him, and at age 54, he was wondering if he could get his small talent back, that he had wasted it. So, you are important as one of those stones upon which the queen walks. And, I mean, I don't know what image works for each of you. But it's important to see the whole, and it's also important to see the pebble or the stone or... Well, are we interested in trying a theater? Are you up for that?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You're the theater director now. So the first thing is to tell them the script. Tell them your dream.
Okay. I'm in the attic of a two-story house.
Very loud, because you've got to project this out now.
Okay.
So...
I'm in the attic of a three-story house, and there's four people with me, and one of them is my little brother, and two of the other ones, it's a man and a woman, and we're up in the attic, and so far we're safe, but my little brother and I decided to go down in the basement. And so we go down in the basement, and there's this woman down there, and she comes out of a closet, and she reaches over to hug us both. And she looked really beautiful, and so I reach over to hug her, and then she hugged my brother. And as she released him, there was a kind of a gauzy, sticky scarf that she left on his back, and I could feel it on mine, too. And at that point, she became the devil, or she somehow this woman was the devil. And I then went into just observing the whole thing, and he started to run towards all the other people in the house, and we ran out and got in this old, like a DeSoto, those old cars, and tried to get away.
Okay. So, the first thing to do is to pick the players.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a little brother,
mm-hmm.
and you need a goddess devil. Who else do you need?
Me.
You, and who else?
And a man and a woman.
A man and a woman, and an old DeSoto.
Oh, do I get to pick the car?
Yep, you get to pick the car. And you need a house. So how many people do you need to be the boundaries of the house?
Maybe six.
Maybe six, okay. All right, this will be a very Shakespearean... Thisbe and the wall and the hole. So start with the little brother. Tell us everything you can about your little brother.
Well, he had the long hair and ponytail. And he was slightly built. And he had on a funny... We had on the same clothes. Kind of a blue-green sweatshirt and green tights.
Both of you? Ah, so we now have twins here. Twin energies. Okay. More.
About him?
Yeah, his energy. How old is he in the dream?
He's about 13.
Okay. What are his interests? What's his energy like?
Kind of a wild boy. Or...
Mm-hmm. Give us some examples. Is he more like Puck, or is he more like Caliban, or is he more like Dennis the Menace? Or
A cross between Puck and Dennis the Menace.
Puck and Dennis the Menace in green tights and a ponytail. Adolescent boy. Okay. Do we need more? Do you want to know more? Who wants to do that? Who's Puck? Dennis the Menace? Who could play it? You can do it. Great. All right. Okay, go to the... we'll save the goddess devil for last. All right. Then tell me about the other two people.
Well, the guy looks like Jack Nicholson.
Ah.
Kind of wild.
Ooh-hoo. What's the energy like?
Strong, protective.
Jack Nicholson? Looks like Jack Nicholson, but more benevolent. Okay?
Yeah, he's not crazy.
He's not crazy in this. Okay? More like terms of endearment or... The middle-aged man next door. Okay.
Yeah.
The what? The Joker? Not the Joker. No, not the Joker. No.
And he and the woman are just kind of there. They're not really...
They're observing.
Yeah.
How old are they?
40, 50.
Okay, so you've got a 13-year-old and some midlife people.
Right, and they're not parents.
No, they're just there observing.
They live in the house, but...
Mm-hmm. But you and your brother are dressed alike.
Yeah.
How are they dressed?
Oh, regular street clothes.
Regular street clothes, okay. And the woman?
Most likely.
I'll try to bring her into focus.
Got kind of brownish, light brown hair, not in a bun, but kind of pulled back. Just real plain.
A plain woman. Mm-hmm. Nondescript?
Nondescript.
Okay. Is this what you're afraid of becoming? Is this the fear that we all have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's this wild energy in the little boy. What's your energy like?
More observing.
Uh-huh. So you're a bystander. And this is like a tableau of life. Mm-hmm.
And I'm participating in it right up until the time that she hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in it anymore. I'm there, but I'm...
Oh, so you don't want to deal with it.
Right. He goes nuts.
He goes nuts, and you split.
Well, we start running.
Oh.
And somehow, but I'm not as... I'm in danger, but it's not like I'm there.
Uh-huh. So you dissociate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so who wants to play the nondescript middle-aged man? And who wants to play the nondescript middle-aged woman? Are these own the house? These guys own the house?
Well, yeah.
In charge of the house.
Well, kind of a strange family. It's kind of a family.
It's kind of a family. All right. But it's not a mother and father. It's okay. Who can pull off a man who looks like... Yeah, it's kind of Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson in terms of endearment before they fall in love. Come on, it's our worst fears. It's our worst fears. You'll do one? Who? What would you like to be? Okay, what's your worst fear? Nondescript old woman, middle-aged, old before her time, or your animus is kind of gray and dead. I mean, I'd be...
I'll be the woman.
You'll be...
The woman.
Oh, right. You'll be the... Okay. Great. All right, now we need... You need a basement and an upstairs?
Like an attic.
You need an attic? It's three stories. So we need, all right, we'll have four people for the basement, four people for the main floor, and four people for the cornerstones of the attic. And what's the difference between the three? Tell us about the light qualities, what's in the three areas.
Well, it's light upstairs where we start out. It's
in the attic.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants, all right, what's the furnishing?
There's not very much furnishing. There's like a fireplace.
Okay, so the upstairs attic has the fire.
The attic or the top floor.
Okay, and the second floor, the main floor?
That's just something that we run down to get to the basement.
Mm-hmm. So it's not lived in?
No.
Okay, and then the basement?
It's got the closet.
Oh, the closet. So we need four people who want to play the light and the fire. So let's do five. We need fire and four corners for the light. Who wants to be the fire? He'll be the fire. Who wants to be the four corners of one, two, three, four? All right. She's fire. No? Would you rather be the devil? You want to be the closet door. Great closet door. Okay. How about a nondescript four-cornered middle house where nobody lives? That's the... And you're just going to get run through.
I'll be a passageway.
You'll be a passageway. All right. That's exactly what it is. Two, three, and one more passageway. Four. Would you rather be a passageway, or you want to be in the basement where the action is? You want to be the basement. Hang out for the basement. Right. Now we get to the real part. Who wants to be... You're the closet door of the basement. Who wants to be the basement? You? Two more? Basement. Too many bad childhood memories? Basement. You want to be the witch? Well, let's hold off on picking the other two, and let's go for the witch. What's she like? The woman, goddess, devil.
Well, she looks nice at first and very comforting and very warm. And for some reason, we like her better than the guys upstairs.
Well, yeah.
She's alive.
You bet.
So she starts out real beautiful.
Mm-hmm, real attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nurturing, too.
But nurturing. Uh-huh. Hmm. And do you want two people to play that back to back so that we can have a split personality? Really, you want to do that? Okay. So we need a Janus-faced, double-bodied goddess devil. You're pointing at somebody? Oh. You want to be which part? Great. Okay. Who wants to be the kindly, benevolent, seductive, beautiful? Great. Okay. Hi, honey. Come and get your apple. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. And so now we've got that settled, we still have to finish up the basement walls. We have door, wall. Who was the other wall? What we got four? Oh, basement, we need four. Wall, wall. Okay. Have we got the four? Did we get the four? Wall, raise your hands for the basement. That's the door. Oh, you need one more wall. Come on. You'll be a wall. All right. So, the first thing is Let's start with the upper scene. And we probably need to move all this stuff out of the middle so nobody gets hurt. Did somebody want to be a DeSoto? You guys be the doctor. All the rehearsals and all the parts have been played. And the reason that it works is that this person is the embodiment of the meaning. And in watching all of us carry out her directions, she will learn what her dream means. And this is the tedious part, is that it will take us with a complicated dream. I mean, this is a perfect dream to work with because it's got fast action, and once you get your parts down, you can do the switching and it will move faster. But she'll get it at some point. So start with you're the stage director, so we need the upstairs room, the fireplace, and the two people. Is that correct?
Right.
All right, so you place them.
And I'm in there with my brother.
Yeah, but you're the director as well. So you're the ego.
Okay.
And so you call out your walls,